So today is the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. So we'll have a Pushpanjali at noon, and we'll have breakfast with fruit at 12:30 and the regular lunch at the regular time, if that's okay. All right, I'm going to sing the, although it's both an appearance day and a disappearance day, I was going to sing Lula, Prima Donna, but I can't find the page. You know where it is? The autumn desktop, right?
Oh. Puta Nina Pura
does a Vaishnava have in this world, in the material world? The Grihasthas from Sri Kanda, when they were visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, one of them presented this question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu: what is the duty in general of a Vaishnava? And his answer to this Grihastha devotee was, Asat-samtyage Vaishnava Achar. So the business of a Vaishnava in general is to give up bad association.
association to become purified from the connection with the material energy. That's fine for the devotee who's still conditioned, who's a neophyte. But yes, a person who's sick, his first business is to get cured. But it's not the business of a person who is healthy to just be taking medicine and laying in bed. He has a life to live. So what is the business of a Vaishnav, of an advanced Vaishnav, of a liberated Vaishnav? What business does he have in this material world? All the services that we could do, most of them can be done better in our original home, the spiritual kingdom. We might want to cook for Krishna, but there are hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis cooking for him in Vaikuntha, and facilities for cooking are much better there. You won't find worms in the dal in Vaikuntha. So that service and most other services are better done in the spiritual world. What reason would there be to be living here in the material world? Other than that we're fallen. Let's suppose we're not fallen. We're recovered, we're pure devotees. What are we doing here? I can only think of two activities that justify living in the material world. One is, and they're both services for Krishna. One is killing demons. And the other one is preaching. Otherwise, there's no reason to be here. Considering the particular time and circumstance, considering that we are devotees coming in the shadow of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to serve him in his mood. So there is no vacancy available for killers of demons. We're not engaging. With a few exceptions, maybe we're not engaged in shedding blood. So that all that's left is preaching. The associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, well you could help Lord Chaitanya experience his inner sentiments. And so his secretary and Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they would do that service. They would sing the songs of Vidyapati Chandidas to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and send him into ecstasies. Maybe some intimate service like that. But otherwise, the only practical work we can do for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the given time and place is preaching work. So, therefore, when, especially in the later generations, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and gone, when his associates appear in the later generations, they especially engage in this preaching work. The intimate associates, the most advanced associates in the world. The neophytes may imitate Rupa and Sanatana in their renunciation, but the advanced devotees mostly are doing something to spread compassion on the fallen souls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, 500 years ago, appeared just as Krishna does in all his avatars. He enters when he descends to the material world. When he makes his public appearances, he is voluntarily entering the restricted realm of time and space. He becomes an historical personality. He lives in a certain culture, and he becomes part of it. He becomes a man of his own time and place. Certainly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Vrijabhasis and other people from the north, they sometimes, even though they may be Vaishnavas, they have very often a distaste to following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore other sampradayas have been founded. And we can see sampradayas that are imitating Lord Chaitanya's sampradaya, but leaving out Lord Chaitanya. Many such sampradayas. And there's a prejudice. The problem is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Bengali. And Bengalis are not popular up here. But he did take birth in Bengal. He played the role of a Bengali Brahmin, pundit. So he did enter the realm of time and space and assumed roles. He studied grammar, he taught grammar, and so on. So it's not unprecedented for the devotees to enter the culture that they take birth in and serve Krishna through that. So we have here the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He appeared in 1837-80, a time when India was completely dominated by the Western powers. The English were in the predominance in India. They basically controlled most of the country, and they certainly were controlling the culture. Of course, even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, India had already lost its independence. This is the degradation of Kali Yuga. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself explains it in some of his books, the historical development of Kali Yuga. Because the Brahmanas become impotent, because they neglect their proper duties. They don't practice the real principles of religion and they don't teach them. The Brahmanas become corrupt. We see the symbol of that, beginning of that, in the cursing of Parikshit by a young son of a sage. From then, the Brahmins were becoming more and more corrupt. And without the proper guidance of real Brahmanas, then the next class, the Kshatriyas, lose their potency. Not properly guided, instead being exploited by unscrupulous so-called Brahmanas, then the Kshatriyas themselves become misled and they lose their spiritual potency. They become weak, and then it's natural that, having become weak like that, India was prey to foreign invasions. So thus, going back to the 9th century AD, the Islamic warlords from places like Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, the Mughals, what they call Mughals or Mongolians, but they didn't come from Mongolia, they came from Central Asia. And they took over most of India. The Bengal that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth into was dominated by these Mughals. Now the same Shah was the vassal of the emperor in Delhi, and he was ruling. The Islamic government was ruling Bengal. And we see that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were men of their times also. Although we worship the six Goswamis as the perfect renunciants who gave up everything. Jatva Turnava Shesha Mandalapati Training Siddhartha Chabat. They rejected the aristocratic association of politicians and money men. But that means that originally they were in that association. They were involved in politics. The two of them and their brother and Upama were working for the Muslim government. They practically were running. The three of them were running the government of Bengal. So they were, in their early pastimes, very much men of their times, part of the culture. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then similarly. Another associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's sometimes called the seventh Goswami. He himself reveals in his poetry his own Manjari identity. So he's an intimate servant of Srimati Radharani, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a come again to this world specifically to revive pure Krishna consciousness at a time when it was being threatened from all sides. The Muslims had subjugated India and they denigrated the Hindu religion to a second-rate religion. The Hindus had to pay taxes that the Muslims did not have to pay. And that was an impetus to change your religion and become a Muslim, so you didn't have to pay tax and other ways of being suppressed. But the Muslims, the Muslim government never was able to change the culture the way the British did. The Muslims oppressed, but the British subverted very successfully. They undermined the spiritual and social culture of India the way that previous invaders were not able to. They did it economically through economics and education. They established a very big civil service system where many people, to get a good job, had to work for the government. Education, administration, the law, if you wanted to be a judge, if you wanted to be a teacher in a reputable school, you had to be connected with the British government. And the British government, their policy was Western education, Western everything. That you had to become like a Westerner if you wanted to have a high position in society. Especially in Bengal. The Bengalis, maybe more than other parts of India, they took very enthusiastically to the British culture. And this was the culture in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur took his birth into in the middle of the 19th century. A culture that had become very much westernized, even in a short time, in less than 100 years. The British had socially conquered India in the way nobody else had before, and undermined the culture of India, and made the intelligent and well-positioned people think that they had to become like the British, wear leather shoes, eat with a knife and fork, and get a British education if they wanted to be something in society. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and therefore that was, beside the Muslim oppression, the degradation from within, from all these Sahaja cults that were undermining the integrity of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And then the British promoting the Western culture, Western education, Western religion, disrespect for their own tradition. So on all sides, the original spiritual culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own land, Bengal, had become very much, very much attacked on all sides and very much weakened. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took his birth in such a situation where it was practically not at all reputable to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The movement of Chaitanya was considered something for debauchees, not for respectable people. He was born into a fairly well-to-do family that owned some land and lived comfortably and happily, although they were not Vaishnavas, his family. They lived a relatively auspicious life. But even in his youth, their fate, the fortune of the family changed. His father died when he was young. And the family came into a very difficult economic situation. They lost much of their property. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a young boy, had some difficulties. He had to leave the home to go to school elsewhere. His health was not good. Throughout his life, his body was not very strong, and he was often suffering from diseases. But Krishna had arranged that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be given a modern education. Even when he was a little boy, he was studying English at a local school. And he was trained up very well, the modern way. He got a modern education. He became very proficient in the use of the English language. He became a very expert communicator. And even as a young man, he was writing and publishing books, articles, and poetry. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur got the opportunity, Krishna arranged, just like Jiva Goswami was sent to Benares to study Vedanta. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to the British school to study English, English literature, English culture, to equip him to do his service. The service is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan should be not just for a few Bengalis. The worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be the religion of the whole world. This was the intention of Mahaprabhu himself. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur laid the foundation for actually establishing this worldwide Krishna consciousness movement. He did a lot of writing. He traveled around Bengal and preached actively. He wrote books not only in his native language, but in English, in Sanskrit, Hindi, Assamese, many languages. He organized devotee communities. He discovered the actual proper place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance at Mayapur. And he raised a son who was to practically develop this program. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted that Daivi Varnashram be re-established. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living on this planet 500 years ago, there were still vestiges of Vedic culture. He was born in a place where Brahmanas behaved properly like Brahmanas, they were educated in the Shastra, and they were respected. They had a proper role in society. Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. But in modern world, the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas are an anachronism. They have no purpose in society. There's a need to revive the social infrastructure to make it possible for more than a few people to practice Krishna consciousness. That Krishna consciousness should not just be for the few misfits on the outskirts of society who cannot do anything practical, let them become the Vaishnavas. No, everybody, not just the so-called sadhus, but the family men, everybody should be actively serving and developing their Krishna consciousness. That requires, practically it requires in the modern world, reorganization of the Varnashram system. So that those who cannot function as perfect paramahamsas, they can still develop their Krishna consciousness in some position in society, according to their conditioned state. That is Daivi Varnashram when it's properly organized by pure devotees for the purpose of promoting pure Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much interested in doing that, although he himself did not have the opportunity to organize on any big scale.
There's a dog going for Tulsi, and you can chase him away.
Please leave the door closed at all times.
Mission of Chaitanya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to spread pure Krishna consciousness all over the world, to break the limits of just being a small cult in Bengal and make it a real modern phenomenon, something that had impact on the whole world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made all the plans, and his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and then Srila Prabhupada, they implemented it. But the ideas and the plans all came from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We see the fruits now in this ISKCON society that has implanted itself in almost every country in the world. Millions of devotees worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and carrying out his mission. The transcendental city that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had vision of from his home in Gojumadri, that city is developing. If you sit on the front lawn of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, you can see the Mayapur city just across the river, the same city that he saw in his vision. So he had the vision, he expressed it, he taught it to his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and now the fruits are developing. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the very much the founder of this Krishna consciousness movement. Maybe I can discuss something about the disappearance of Haridasa Thakur. He was one of the first associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to leave this world. He had his vow to chant 3 lakhs a day. He would not eat until he finished that vow. He would not do anything else. But he was getting old and was having difficulty finishing his rounds. So one day, or every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to visit Haridasa Thakur. Haridasa Thakur and Rupa and Sanatan, they would not dare to enter the Jagannath temple because they were considered lynchers. Therefore, they would not offend anybody by trying to enter the temple grounds. They stayed outside. That is Siddha Bhakala, the place where Haridasa Thakur stayed. Okay, by the Swagadur. Gorbahan, can you go on my windowsill? Lord Chaitanya is there, can you bring him? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come every day to after having his darshan, Jagannath, would come to meet Haridasa Thakur. But this one day, Haridasa was lying in his bed, apparently not well. Okay, can I have... This is, we have our murti of Nrisimhadeva on the altar. It was carved by Jagannath Mahapatra, prominent sculptor in Puri. He also carved this murti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a piece of the Siddha Bhakula tree. So you can pass it around, be careful with it. It can break. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, well, Haridasa, how are things? And Haridasa said, everything is fine, but my body is not doing so well. And actually, I'm having problems finishing my rounds. So could you please stay here for a while? Mahaprabhu understood. Haridasa Thakur intended to leave his body. And although it was not welcome that the associate of the Lord would leave while the Lord was still present, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was obliged to let Haridasa Thakur have whatever he wanted. So, without any argument, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the devotees come and perform kirtan, and Haridas Thakur holding the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his body. And Lord Chaitanya was of the opinion that this is a very auspicious occasion and that it should be celebrated properly. So Lord Chaitanya had the devotees put Haridas Thakur's body on a viman, a decorated cart, and bring it out to the beach. And there they chanted very ecstatically, and the samadhi of Haridas Thakur was prepared. Meanwhile, word came, got to the marketplace, and all the store owners who were selling prasadam wanted to donate for a feast for Haridas Thakur, and they were bringing basketfuls of Jagannath prasadam. Srim Damodar was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go back and send most of it back and just have each storekeeper donate a small amount because it was too much. Anyway, prasadam was collected, a big feast was had for Haridas Thakur, and he was, his disappearance day was celebrated with great festivity. The disappearance of the Vaishnav, although it's a sad occasion for those who lose his association, it's certainly auspicious that the Vaishnav is going back to Krishna. In this case, the associate left before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but that was the will of the Lord and the will of the devotee. So, speak some more about the material talk. Anyone have anything that they'd like to say?
Just
why don't you take the microphone? Yeah. Oh, take the other microphone.
Should you share about the material talk of the word? The first of Acharya's parampara directed to address the empiricists and materialists in these writings. Because before Acharya's day, they were in the books written by them, discussing different esoteric details, and also because this, as you meant for those who already accept God's existence and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was one first to invite people to boldly address the hardcore materialists.
Yes. And he addressed them in their own language. It's very difficult to preach to people who don't accept the Vedic authority. All the commentaries, standard debates are usually with people who at least accept the authority of the Vedas. Otherwise, you have to get down to basic principles and explain to a person why you should accept such an authority in common sense terms. So we've heard that preaching from Prabhupada so much, this common sense preaching that even materialists can understand. But it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who pioneered that, addressing the modern world. And this is what those who are Bhajananandis are failing to do. They're saving themselves, maybe, but they're not expressing the full compassion for fallen conditioned souls by trying to communicate with them in a way they can understand. It's a balance that has to be struck. We have to say things that people can understand and that people are interested in, but we should not compromise. Yes, we have to spread Krishna consciousness all over. And to spread it, you have to make it attractive, interesting. But what has to be spread should be pure, it has to be pure Krishna consciousness. There's no sense just spreading and spreading if what we're spreading and what people are attracted to is something compromised, something not up to the pure standard. So balance has to be there. So a person like Bhaktivinoda Thakur
His, what he's to be remembered for is not just that he modernized, but that he didn't compromise. What he was showing in a modern and up to date way was the original pure Krishna consciousness, the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not something distorted for the purpose of making it popular. Because there were other contemporary religious revivals in Bengal, like the Ramakrishna mission. But they discarded everything. They not only were Mayavadis, but they weren't even proper Mayavadis. They didn't even follow Shankaracharya and his teachings. His Neo-Vedanta is not even properly Advaitava. It's popular, millions of followers all over the world, but it's nothing authentic. It's not even authentic Mayavada. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur started something that could attract the attention of the whole world and make millions of devotees without compromising one iota, without lowering its standards, without becoming anything less than pure Krishna consciousness. That's the thing that nobody else could accomplish.
With your kind permission, I'd like to read a letter.
Please, yeah.
A short letter by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is probably the last letter written by him to anyone. And we'll read it.
Is that the letter of 1922? No. 1914. Son to, the letter to
Bhaktivinoda.
Yes, okay.
It's like a request.
Yes, a very important letter.
And he makes a synopsis of what he wants to take over.
Yes.
And increase and develop. It's a short letter. It's a Saraswati exclamation mark. I guess it's written in English. It's pretty much his style.
Probably not. I doubt that he would write to
anyway.
But you saw the original in Bengali? Okay, no, it was in Bengali. Yeah.
Anyway, people of this world who are proud of their own aristocratic birth cannot attain real aristocracy. And therefore they attack the pure Vaishnavas, saying, they have taken birth in low class families because of their sins. Thus they commit offenses. The solution to this problem is to establish the order of Devaranashtra Dharma.
Yes,
something you have started doing. You should know that to be the real service, you should know that to be the real service to the Vaishnavas. Because pure devotional conclusions are not being preached, all kinds of superstitions and bad concepts are being called devotion by such pseudo-sampradayas as Sapaji and Antibari. Please always crush these anti-devotional concepts by preaching pure devotional conclusions and by setting an example through your personal conduct. Please make great effort so you can start parikram of Shinam Narati as soon as possible. It is by those actions that everyone in this world will receive Krishna Bhakti. Please try very hard to make sure that the service of Shri Mayapur will become a permanent thing and will become brighter and brighter every day. The real service to Shri Mayapur can be done by acquiring recent dresses, distributing devotional books, and Sankirtan preaching. Please do not neglect to serve Shri Mayapur or to preach for the sake of your own reclusive passion. When I am not present anymore, please take care to serve Shri Dham Mayapur, which is so dear to you. This is my special instruction to you. Please, people who are like animals can never attain devotion, therefore never take their suggestions, but do not let them know this directly or indirectly. I have a special desire to preach the significance of such books as Srimad Bhagavatam, Satsang Dharma, and Vedanta Darshan. You have to accept that responsibility. Shri Mayapur will prosper if you establish an educational institution there.
Oh, please,
Never make any effort to collect knowledge or money for your own enjoyment. That's for all of us. Only to serve the Lord will you collect these things. Never engage in better association, either for money or for some self-interest. Signed, Kerala, Delta Box, 1910.
You print that out.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention, because you said about the unique role of Bhaktivinoda Kura's preaching, and his Nanda Prabhu indicated that he was the first one to affront and cause materialists and empiricists. Looks like Deva Goswami and Balaji Vidyabhushan did that to some degree in their writings. Balaji Vidyabhushan and Govinda Bhashi did take on some Mayavadis and materialists and did part of their.
Mayavadis have been the
Buddhists, so
the Vaishnavas have been attacking the Mayavadis as far back as we can find Vaishnavas.
The Buddhists and some gross materialists, some kind of Vedic version of materialists, I think are being discussed there in the Vaishnavas as well. The Bhaktivinoda Kura, as you explained, he did a very clever, very
ingenious. Well, Vidyabhushan deals with some contemporary debates.
Right.
You know, with the Shaktas about the authority of the Bhagavatam and so on.
Even Krishna, you could say, affronted materialists in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when he discussed their philosophy there.
Krishna,
Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
In this class of Arjuna.
Yeah.
But Bhaktivinoda Kura, what he did, he not only just translated the philosophy into their language, but he also tried to translate ideas into their realm of understanding and criticism so they could relate to it. But he did it with almost like a smirk, almost for fun. Like Krishna Sankhita, he wrote the foreword, translating the entire history of Vedic culture and philosophy into a contemporary time frame, dating Bhagavatam as something like 7th century AD and things like that. And equating, who was that? Some biblical king with Hiranyakashipu. But then he added, at the very last paragraph of his foreword, he told Vaishnava readers of his book, please don't care about these things. This is just for the materialists who read my book and they come to the attention of Krishna that way. Please don't take it too seriously because Bhagavan was a terminal. But he did it in such a clever way that only Vaishnavas could understand that the whole thing about Vedic history translated in modern terms is just for some other people, not for Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. Other people wouldn't have guessed and figured it out. And I think he was also the first one to send the translation of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy to the Western world, and that was coincidentally in 1896, when he sent his first book, and that was the first year anniversary of Prabhupada. And his devotees went to that, was it Montreal University or somewhere?
Montreal,
that's right.
Montreal?
And they found the original book written by Dr. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and sent back in 1896.
I think I said this already. I was one day listening to Montreal, and they just had a meeting with the BBC before, and they were discussing how they would open a printing. They had the permission of opening printing books in Montreal. So they had the permission. So while they were discussing this, a devotee came with a few copies of the book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that was translated into French. He said it's English, but not translated into French. And they were passing with a cell phone. They were doing it. It was quite suspicious. But seeing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted this to happen, he's printing books.
Yes, Mukunda Maharaj was the one who went to the library looking for something. He tried to look for the book, the catalog. And he looked up Bhaktivinoda, he couldn't find it.
Kedaranath,
yeah. He got the idea of Kedaranath. He looked up, so they were all good.
Still there, devotees didn't steal it?
He not only reached to Persian people, like where he was very good, he was teaching also to very, very simple people. He started to write his versions in certain people, very simple English. And if you see that his versions, it's very high philosophy that explains the very, very simple English.
And he would go out himself and go to villages, you know, and have kirtan programs and sing his own songs. Yeah, the songs were written for performance.
Also, one thing about his Lovahata mission. He established this mission in order to implement this Lord Chaitanya culture into all people. So that everyone in the heaven, in each tradition, he is practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's very important. And I have an opinion that because of the Mahatma preaching, because of the Mahatmas, in the time of Lord Chaitanya, it was also so many Mahatmas, they are recognized by Lord Nityananda. It started so many creation, because it was too liberal. People just practice whatever they want. But Shiva Santakura, he took the same Navajo mission, but he implemented this integration. So it was not only Navajo means the marketplace of holy name, but he was giving very high philosophy. He was educating these people in order to give them understanding of what is behind this teaching in general education. It is special education.
Anyway, our debt to Bhaktivinoda Thakur we cannot really repay, but we can try by dedicating our lives to this preaching mission, doing something according to our capacity and giving our whole life for that. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Abhibhav, Otsav Ki, Jai. Srila Haridas Thakur, Tirabhav, Otsav. I want to discuss one thing. Our grammar exam is going to be on the 17th, and then the 18th we'll be grading the tests. So not from the 19th up to the end of the month is short vacation. We're going to organize one trip, voluntary. It's not, you know, you can do whatever you want during vacation, but there will be a trip organized to the place up near Hastinapur, the original Hastinapur on the Ganga. Where Pariksit heard the Bhagavatam from Shukadev. I don't know if any of you have been there. I agree with Prabhu's been there. Shukatar, yeah, it's called. We're going to take a bus first to Delhi for breakfast and then go to Meerut that afternoon. This will be on the 23rd. We'll arrive in Delhi for breakfast. And then go to Meerut, which is 75 miles south of this place. That's about two hours from Delhi. We'll have a bus that we hired from here for everybody. And then we'll have a program for the congregation in Meerut, and they'll feed us, and we'll have kirtan and lecture. And spend the night in Meerut. And then in the morning, go on to Sukhothar, which is 75 kilometers, but the roads are pretty small roads and hardly anybody even knows how to get to the place. And we'll spend the day there and then come back that night on the bus. So think about whether you want to go so we can count how many will be going.
The 23rd and
24th? Yes. Yeah, the 23rd, that's a Saturday. We'll be leaving here and we'll be coming back the night of the 24th. We'll spend one night in there. Yeah, we'll probably arrive late. Yeah, leaving from here on the 23rd or more. Yeah, it'll have to be like early 6, 5:30, 6 o'clock to get to Delhi in time. I don't know if there's a better route. I think that's the best route anyway through Delhi. Yes, ma'am? Well, we're only going to be there for you know, some hours. Her seminar will take longer than that. So, therefore, she can give her seminar a year before we go. You know, she'll have those days so she can get.
give here. And then she can come with us also if she wants. And some devotees from Delhi apparently want to come with us, so we may have to hire a big bus.
Do you have somebody who knows like what the intricacies
of the place?
What?
Somebody who knows. It's not a very intricate place. It's just, you know, Mayavadi ashram on the spot. There's the tree is there. No, it's on the Ganga. And the Ganga is across the street. We can take Snan across the street. Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, it's a nice little beach.
Then you can have a nice swim.
No, definitely swim.
What?
And Hastinapur, the original Hastinapur, which was originally the, you know, what used to be the capital of the world, is 12 kilometers south of there, but it's nothing. It's just a little village. Hastinapur.
We go there.
We'll go to a couple of places on the way. It would be about a 14-hour drive from there. It's on the other side, you know, west. You got to go back through Delhi and up through Punjab. Yeah, that'd be a different trip.
Yes.
Where is Naimisharanya? 4 hours north of Lucknow. We can go there, take a train to Lucknow and or to Sikapur and then put them to it. Well, it's like a slower train, 10 hours train ride to as far as the train goes, and then 3 hours more.
To Lucknow?
But it's there's no Kali Yuga there, it's a nice place. Naimisharanya. But it's a longer trip. Okay, but it's 3 hours north of Lucknow. Six hours. Okay. We can do that trip, but that probably would take a couple of days, you know, 3 days or something.
There's one more.
Okay. Yes. Oh yes, I'm sorry. We're gonna have Pushpanjali at noon. So can the class end? Noon? Yeah. And then okay. There'll be the regular prasad program will have fruit breakfast at 12:30 and the regular lunch at the regular time, if that's okay. Maybe you can make some nuts or something to go with the food. Okay, we can discuss it. Why don't we stop the class and then we can, you know, discuss the prasad. Of course. Let's offer obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.
Finally, we'll go for a swim.